Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 12 this morning. Book of Romans chapter number 12. On our third week series of what God has laid upon my heart, first one was, who are you? And that's what led us into where we are at today. And this is what you can become. We're going to find this in the book of Romans chapter number 12 this morning. And we're going to read verses 1 through 2. As soon as I get there, we'll read this. Again, I'm going to take my jacket off. I just feel like it's hot in here this morning for some reason. I don't know if my blood pressure's up or what, but if I faint, somebody just grab my notes and keep going. Amen? I don't feel that way, but anyway. Book of Romans chapter number 12 this morning. And we're going to read verses 1 through 2. It says this, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Go ahead and turn your Bibles back to or forward to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And we're going to read in verse number 17, as we have read these last 3 weeks here. It says this, verse number 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, I'm going to ask you to read this with me, and I want you to read it with authority. Amen? So on a count of three, we'll read verse number 17 together. One, two, three. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we are grateful that we're able to pick up your word this morning. We're grateful that we are able to be able to see what you have for us in your word. It is a blueprint for our life. All the answers that we need come from your word. And so, Lord, may we do the job that we are supposed to do and search the scriptures for growth in our life. Lord, I pray this morning as we go through your word, and Lord, I don't know how you're going to speak to hearts, but I do know that you will speak to hearts. And so, Lord, I pray if there's something in this message this morning that is needed by somebody here this morning, that you would allow the Holy Spirit to be able to minister their hearts. Lord, I know that you have ministered to my heart throughout this week with this passage, and specifically this title. So, Lord, I pray that you just have your way this morning, and we ask for these things in your name. Amen. What you can become, not just in yourself, that's not what I'm looking here for this morning, but what you can become in Christ. The first thing that we can see in Scripture, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, it says this, you can become what? A new creature. Amen. Looking forward to that. If you haven't been brought to that in your life, I pray that that will take place in your life today. But in order to become something in Christ, there has to be something that needs to take place in our life. And it's found back in the book of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. The first thing that we see here says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do something. Is that what your Bible says? That you do something? Or does it say something else after that? Well, it says something else after that. It doesn't say do something. It says that ye present your bodies. Amen? In order to become something in life as a believer, here's what you and I need to do. We need to present our body to who? Presented to Christ, because our body no longer belongs to us. As it's been said over the course of the last couple weeks, last couple months, we are a child of the King. And because we're a child of the King, our body doesn't belong to us anymore. It belongs to Him. Amen? And so with that being said, you have to present your bodies to him. What does it mean, present? That means you give what God has given you back to him. Does that make sense this morning? So give your body back to Jesus Christ. A living sacrifice is to become fully at God's disposal. So in order for you to become something in Christ, you need to present your bodies, you need to give your bodies back to Christ for a reason. So that it become a living sacrifice. And you're saying, okay, God, now that I'm a living sacrifice, now here's my life, take my life, and do with it what you seem is best for me. Amen? Isn't that what we're supposed to do in life? After salvation, it's no longer about how we're going to live our life according to how we wanted to, but it's according to who? It's according to God. And so now we're at God's disposal. So what are you saying? So whatever God has designed for you in your life, guess what? Let him do it. Amen? But unfortunately, here's what we do. We fight God on this, and we don't want to give our body, our life back to God. We don't want to present a living sacrifice. We don't want it to become fully at God's disposal. Why? Because we're still so consumed with fulfilling our will. A Christian life is no longer about consuming and doing your will. It's about doing what? The will of God. How do you know it's the will of God when it's not your will? Amen? That's an easy way to look at that. So a living sacrifice is to become fully at God's disposal. So in order for us to become something in Christ, here's what needs to be taking place. To be available and willing to obey God in whatever area he asks or whatever area he commands us to do. Amen? But so often we fight God. We don't want to give in to his disposal. We don't want to be available when he's talking to us. We don't want to be willing to obey him, whatever he asks or whatever he commands. Why? Because we're constantly fighting God on the things in our life. And we're too busy trying to become something that we want to be. And we dealt with this a great deal with last week. But we need to be available and we need to be willing to obey God. But that's something that we have a hard time doing. We sing this song so often in our church, and I'm not saying we should stop singing this, but we sing a song, it's called Trust and Obey. And those are the two hardest things that a believer can do in his life, is to fully trust God and to really obey God. But we sing it as if we actually believe it. We sing it as if we actually practice it. And let's be honest with ourselves. We're not always obeying God. We're not always making ourselves available to him in whatever area he asks or area that he commands us to do. So as we continue to go on here, God isn't asking us to die for him. That's not what he means about a living sacrifice. But to sacrifice our way of living for him. That's what he's after. To sacrifice our way of living for him. So as we continue to go on here this morning, we present our bodies a living sacrifice. Then the other thing is this, is to be holy. In order to become what you need to become for Christ, you and I have to be holy. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Psalms chapter 99 this morning. Psalms chapter 99. And when we get there, we're going to look at verse number 9 this morning. I'm going to read the whole chapter here this morning, chapter 99. It says, "The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity, thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name, they called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spake unto them in a cloudy pillar, they kept his testimonies, and the ordinance that he gave them. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though thou took vengeance of their inventions. Verse number 9, it says, exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy hill. For what reason? There's a reason, there's an explanation that's given right after this. And it says it right here, it says, for the Lord our God is, say it with me, holy. Amen to that. Holy is for us to be completely devoted to God. Amen? That's what a living sacrifice is. You're presenting your bodies holy before God. You're saying, I'm going to be devoted to him. In whatever area he asks or whatever area he desires for me to be in, here's a word for us to use, I'm going to sell myself out for God. You know, that's a problem that we have with believers today. We're not willing to sell ourselves out for God, but instead we're willing to sell ourselves out for this world that is not going to benefit us in the long run. As we're going through the book of Revelation, what's happening to this world? The world's going to burn. That's what's going to take place. But we need to sell ourselves out for God, to be completely devoted to him and say, okay, God, whatever you desire in my life, it's not about my will. It's not about what I want to become in life. It's not about what I want to achieve anymore. You've changed my direction, and I'm going to give into that direction that you've called me to, a path that you're going to take me down. And God, I'm just going to trust you through this process. And Lord, it's going to be difficult for me at times, but I'm willing to obey you. I'm willing to devote myself to you because you know that what you have in my life is what's best for me. And that's what we need to do. Be wholly devoted to God. What's wrong with being devoted to God? Amen? There's nothing wrong with that, but that's a life that we should desire to have. So it gives us reason at the end of chapter number 9. The God that we serve this morning, ladies and gentlemen, is this. We serve a God who is holy, a God who is righteous, a God who has never sinned, even though he was tempted. He never sinned. He was a holy God. And because he is a holy God, he deserves to be worshipped. Because he's a holy God, he deserves for his people to praise him. Because he's a holy God, he deserves us to for us to be devoted to him. And because he is holy this morning, here's the thing that needs to take place in our life. If it's not taking place, I encourage you to do so. But this is it. We need to be holy as well. But unfortunately, I'm just like everybody else in here. I struggle with things in life. I struggle with temptations. I struggle with this, that, and the other thing that causes my life at times not to be holy. There are things that I allow in my life that I shouldn't allow in my life. And it takes my eyes off of God. It takes me into a different direction that I want to go down instead of going down the path that God wants me to go down. There are times that I live an unholy life, but guess what? Thankfully for the grace of God, I can come back to him. I can seek forgiveness, and he puts me right back on track. And I'm able to continue the course, and I'm able to sell out once again, and I'm able to say, Lord, I'm devoted to you. I want to go down this path, and I'm going to try to live my life as holy as I can live it for you. And I understand that we're going to deal with distractions along the way, but just because we deal with distractions doesn't mean we stay on the sidelines. Can I say something this morning that I have no idea why I'm even saying it, but until now? God does not want you as his child to be on a sideline for him. But Chad, you don't know what I face. You don't know the sins that I face in my life, and you don't know the struggles that I face. I don't care. God has created you. He saved your soul, and you should be devoted to him. Get off the sideline. Get right back in the path and continue to go forward this morning. Amen? Why? Because he is a holy God. He deserves that from us. But we have a lot of believers this morning that are continuing to be on the sidelines. And ladies and gentlemen, it's important for us to get out there. You know what we need to say? I coached basketball just for a little bit after high school. We still had a team that was going on. And this kid, he played with us even when I was on the team, but he didn't graduate the same time that I did. And I took over the JV part. And I remember as I was coaching this, every single time, and even when I played with him, you know what he was saying? He was saying this, "Coach, put me in, put me in." He said, "Hey, man, I've been here for the practice. I've done this drill, and I've done this drill. I've shot free throws. I've passed the ball in. I've ran the lines. I've gone back and forth many different times, just like everybody else in here." And he's saying, "Coach, I'm tired of sitting on the line. I've been trained. I'm ready to go. Put me in." Folks, that's what we need to do this morning. God, I've read my Bible. I've seen this, and I've seen this take place. And Lord, I've studied, and I'm excited. I'm ready to go. Lord, I don't want to be on the sideline anymore. I want to go forward. Put me in the game, Lord. You know what that's saying? I'm devoted to Him. I'm ready to live that holy life. But sometimes we become too comfortable where we're at in our life, and we're comfortable and we're happy and we're content with just being on the sideline. And I don't want us to be in that predicament in our life. So the God that we serve is holy, and because He is holy, we need to be holy as well. Interesting to think about. Paul at one point in time didn't even have a thought or a concern about being holy. We can all agree on that. Why? Because as you look back on the life of Paul, his life was terrorizing believers. He was terrorizing the ones who were devoted to Christ. He was terrorizing the ones who were being holy to Christ. He was terrorizing those people. It wasn't even a thought on his mind. But here Christ comes along and he changes his destination, changes his whole thought process. And now Paul is on a path of wanting to live a holy life. So as we continue to go on this morning, if you're alive this morning, you're here, please say amen. I'm excited this morning. I have no idea why, but I'm excited. Here's what we need to do in our life. Again, let's read this. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy." The next word is this, acceptable. And I'm going to dwell on this a little bit. Not acceptable according to how you believe it's acceptable, but acceptable to God's standard through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what that means, to be acceptable. Not through your standards, but through God's standard, through and because of your faith in Jesus Christ. You know, there might be someone here this morning has never, ever put their faith and trust in Him. And you have no idea what it means to be devoted. You have no idea what it means to be presenting your bodies. But can I say that to you this morning? If that is you, please stop fighting the Holy Spirit on this matter. Because I'm going to beg with you just for a second. You can walk out of these doors and you can walk into eternity. What do you mean eternity? You can go to hell immediately as soon as you die, because of your rejection of Jesus Christ. Christ does not send you to hell. Your rejection does. And we got to understand those things. So it's through God's standard, through faith in Jesus Christ. This is exactly what being justified is all about. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, we have nothing. And I'm going to urge you and encourage you to take care of that this morning if that is you. Paul, he continues to go on and he instructs us on some other areas. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse number 2, it says this. It says, "And be not conformed to this world." Paul's other instructions in this is, be not conformed to this world. You know, it's hard to tell if there's a believer out in this world anymore. You want to know why? Because we conform to it. We've conformed to it, people. We look like the world. We act like the world. We come to church every Sunday, every Wednesday night just to say that we came to church. We don't really listen to the message that's going on. We sit back there and don't really pay attention. We got other things on our mind. We can't wait to get out of here to go to the next dinner or have dinner at home. We can't wait to get out of here so we can watch the next football game and all those things. And what's happened? We conform to the world. Paul's instructing us not to conform to the world. Believers should not behave according to the standard of the world, but believers should behave according to the standards of these holy scriptures. Amen? That's what it means. But we all have a problem in this area. Let's be honest, okay? That's what we need to do. Be honest with ourselves. Be honest with other individuals. And say, man, I'm struggling in this area. I'm conforming my life to this world, and I know I shouldn't be. Can you please be a help? Can you please show me some scripture that I can be, you can help me in this area? Can you please pray for me in this area so that I no longer conform to this world? We need to be accountable to one another in this area. Why? I'm going to ask you this question. I want you to think about this question. Not for these next few moments, but I want you to think about this for the next day, the next week, the next month. Why would we want to conform to a world that has rejected Jesus Christ? Think about that statement. We're conforming and we're agreeing with the world's way of standards, the world that has rejected Jesus Christ, the world that had spit in his face on the day of his crucifixion. But we conform to that. That is a lifestyle that a believer should reject. Amen? Point number 15. I didn't tell you how many points I had this morning. For a reason. That's tonight. We reject the idea of being conformed. Now we become transformed by the renewing of our mind. Verse number 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. For this reason, says that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Transformed is being changed into another form. Amen? And please, I got to clarify this, because if you grew up in the age that I grew up in, I grew up in the age of cartoons. I know many folks grew up in the age of cartoons. Some were black and white. Some are color now. I understand those things. But I grew up in the age of a cartoon era called the Transformers. Now they've changed those in from cartoons to movies. I'm not talking about walking in life and changing yourself into a semi or a car. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about totally rejecting the way of the world and allowing God to transform you into something that you never would never become unless it's because of him. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Being transformed into another person because of the grace and might of God. It is a complete change for the better. It's being changed into what? Into a new creation. Being transformed to Christ will allow us to do something. Here's what it'll do. It will cause us to abandon. I'm going to go slow with this. It will cause us to abandon the chase for pleasures. Now, there's nothing wrong with pleasures. We all have things that we like to do. Amen. We have those things. But there is a problem when that pleasure takes place of God. That's when it becomes a problem. So I'm not against the things that we like to do, but when it takes the place of God, that's what is very concerning. But being transformed to Christ will cause us to abandon the chase for pleasure. It will cause us to abandon the chase for possessions. Let's be honest, we live to possess things, do we not? You know, you all know Chris and I just recently moved, and as we were going through everything, I'm thinking, why do we have these things? What good are they? You know, because it's just possession at the end of the day. Are we trying to let people see, man, they got this, they got that, they got so much? Folks, possessions are just possessions. What's it going to matter when it's burning in eternity? But we chase those things around, and there's nothing wrong with owning some things. There's nothing wrong with that. But when that's your goal in life, we have to take a time out and say, man, am I doing what God really wants me to do? Or am I here on this earth trying to possess worldly things? And instead, here's what we need to be possessing in our life as a believer, and that's other souls for Christ. That's where we need to be at this morning. So abandon the chase for pleasures. Abandon the chase for possessions. And here's the third one I want us to look at this morning. Abandon the chase for status. Look at me. Look what I've done. Look what I've achieved. Look at the awards that I have on my wall. Look at the trophies that I have on display. Look at the title that the job gave me. Look who I am. Aren't I great? Aren't I wonderful? That's what we chase in life. But when Christ comes in and we allow ourselves not to be conformed to this world, we're being conformed to Him, He transforms our way of thinking. And it's no longer about the pleasures. It's no longer about the possessions. And it's no longer about the status. The only status that we should be worried about this morning is who we are in Christ. That's what we need to be thinking about this morning. We will no longer want to live like everyone else in this world. We will be changed in how we think. That's what being transformed is all about. And then this, last. We will be interpreting life through the lens of God's Word. Amen? That's what it means to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What you can become should not be important to you in life in this world. But what you can become in Christ should be what you're striving for. And folks, let's be honest today. I think we have it backwards. I think our mentality has been changed. For some reason, somewhere down the road, it went from our lives being lived for Him and not being conformed to this world, and all of a sudden there's been this 180, and now everybody's being conformed to the world, and they're not living for Christ, and they're doing what they want to become in life instead of seeking God and what He wants them to become. Amen? And next week, we're going to deal with this subject, who you can be in Christ. We'll end that series that week, next week.